Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I'm going to pick up where I left off yesterday, and if you are just tuning into this program and didn't hear yesterday's, you can certainly go to our website, renewalministries.net, and you'll be able to pick up the program there. Just go to Food for the Journey on our website, renewalministries.net, and we keep up a couple of weeks at a time so that you can go back to programs you have heard or listen to the current ones. And I've been speaking so much the last few days about really living in a realization of who you are, that don't let this world define you. This world is only a piece of life. It's not the whole of life. Don't let this world define you. Let the gospel, let the truth of the scriptures define you. Let the power of the sacraments define you. You are infinitely precious to God. Infinitely. But again, God will never violate your free will. You're the one that has to make the choices. As I said yesterday on the program, you have to dig deep to live in Christ, or you end up staying shallow. And when you stay shallow, you don't know anymore who you are. The world defines you. The world tells you who you are. You don't want the world telling you who you are. Let God tell you who you are. But in the process of that, you have to make some decisions that put you in a place where you can really grow in that. You have to make choices about who you associate with. You have to make choices about finding a primary time for prayer. You can be very creative in it, but find it. You need time to listen to God. You're bombarded with the world 24/7. You need to carve out time where the truth can really begin to grow. And that truth is living. That's why it can overcome the things of this world. But you need to make decisions so that that may happen. There is a short article, a meditation really, by a man whose name is Anthony Bloom. Anthony Bloom was the metropolitan. He was a monk. He was the bishop of the Russian Orthodox Church. He died in the early 2000s. And he writes this. I want to read it to you because it ties in with what I've been talking about in the last several programs. Prayer is the search for God, encounter with God, and going beyond this counter in communion. In other words, we don't just want to encounter God, we want to come into union with God. Thus, it is an activity, a state, and also a situation both with respect to God and to the created world. It arises from the awareness that the world in which we live is not simply two-dimensional, imprisoned in the categories of time and space, a flat world in which we meet only the surface things, an opaque surface covering emptiness. No, that's not it. Prayer is born of the discovery that the world has depths, that we are not only surrounded by visible things, but that we are also immersed in and penetrated by invisible things. That's what I want you to see. And this invisible world is both the presence of God, the supreme, sublime reality, and our own deepest truth of who we are. Visible and invisible are not in opposition. Neither can they be juxtaposed like in an addition sum. They are present simultaneously as fire is present in red-hot iron. Living only in the visible world is living on the surface, and many of us do that. Living only in the visible world is living on the surface. It ignores or sets aside not only the existence of God, but the depths of created being. It is condemning ourselves to perceiving only the world's surface. But if we look deeper, we discover at the heart of things a point of balance, which is their finality. There's no inwardness to geometric volume. Its finiteness is complete. The world of such forms is capable of being extended, but it cannot be deepened. but the heart of man is deep. When we have reached the fountainhead of life in him, we discover that this itself springs from beyond. The understanding of eternity is springing from beyond this life. It's coming to us. It's not a pipe dream. It's not a fairy tale. It's the reality. He said, what has to happen is that the heart of man becomes open to the invisible. Not the invisible of depth psychology, but the invisible, infinite, God's creative word, God himself. Even in this life, brothers and sisters, God wants you to draw very close to him. It's because the ways are different than we're used to in this life. God gave us a free will. You can make the choice. Lord, I really want to know you, and I want to follow you. I'm going to draw closer to you. These are the ways in which I'm going to draw closer to you and open my heart for when and how and why you want to speak to me. It might be 2 years from now, but you prepare yourself. One word from the Lord changes your whole life. It might come today. We don't know. God works differently in every soul. But give him time, brothers and sisters. Please, please give him time. The first reading for today is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. Brothers and sisters, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. For it is written, God catches the wise in their own ruses. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So let no one boast about human beings, for everything belongs to you, Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all belong to you, and you to Christ, and Christ to God. Do you live out of that truth? Take that passage and ponder it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. Psalm 24, to the Lord belongs the earth and all that fills it. He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain, that's the one who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, the one who can stand in his holy place. We can't make ourselves perfect, but we can give ourselves over to God, and he will cleanse us and purify us and make us holy. The psalmist in Psalm 24 tells us, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. When God sees us putting him first, things change. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. May we seek the face of the God of Jacob. And Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. And then more people could see him because he was out a little into the water. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch. But Simon said in reply, Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. Notice that's the reality. We worked hard all night. We've caught nothing. We're tired. But at your command, I will lower the nets. Peter's learned to be obedient even when it doesn't make sense to him. He's the professional fisherman. What Jesus is asking of him does not make sense, but he does it. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, so great that their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. I questioned you. I doubted you. I didn't believe you." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made ceased, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." Notice that Jesus looked at him, because Simon must have been awestruck. I mean, whoever got to catch a fish like this? But he said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Do not be afraid." When we obey God in the small things, when we do God's will in the little things, even though we think we're the professional in the whole situation, if we, like Peter, even though he questions first, he still does it. When we obey God in the little things, then he can give us more things. He can give us greater responsibilities. He can open doors for us. He can show us the way he wants us to go, but he never, ever violates our free will. So it's really up to us. It's up to you and to me. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Whatever you ask, Lord, I will do. Thy will be done, Lord, not mine." When that becomes the spirit of our life, the spirit of our interactions, our relationships, our projects, "Your will be done," then God can draw very, very near to us. Very near to us. And he can use us for the glory of the Father and for the salvation of the world. God wants to use us in ways that, if we believed, we would rejoice. But we don't believe enough. We don't hope enough. We don't love enough. Peter here opens his whole life to God. His whole life. And Jesus tells him, "From now on, you will be catching men." Because he knows that Peter, even though he's sinful, even though he makes mistakes, even though he even denies him, he knows Peter's heart is in the right place, and Jesus can use him. Is your heart in the right place, or do you put on an external show of piety? Is your heart in the right place where Jesus can reach you? Are you stubborn? Are you hard-hearted? Do you have unrepented sin in your life? How are you living? Draw near to him. Let him soften your heart and make it ready that, who knows, brothers and sisters, you may be called to bring in a great catch one day as well. There are many Peters in the world. Perhaps God is calling you to follow him more closely because he wants to use you for the building of the kingdom. May God speak to your heart and bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.